Casey Affleck's in a new movie this weekend.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited to see that. Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice after after Batman, but, you know, I think it'll be good.
After Batman?
Yeah, did you see Batman vs. Superman?
I actually never did, but Casey Affleck wasn't in that.
He was Batman, so I think so.
No, that was Ben Affleck, Will. Ben Affleck was Batman.
Well, who's to say?
I mean, lots of people are, like, everyone knows it was Ben Affleck that played Batman.
Yeah.
The guy from...
It's fine. I guess we'll never know.
No. We know. Like, I'm going to look it up on IMDb right now.
That's your opinion, man, and that's fine.
It's not, though. Like, I'm looking at it as we speak on my iPhone. Ben Affleck was in Batman.
I'm not coming over there to see that.
I can turn it. You are looking at it.
It's too far.
You are facing the fact.
No, we'll never know.
I'm coming over to you.
We'll never know.
Hi there, I'm Michael B. Allen.
And I'm Will Backe.
And this is episode 14 of the Riot Studios podcast.
Welcome to the Riot podcast.
I was gonna give our new tagline.
Oh, jeez.
We're gonna start doing a tagline.
Oh.
So I'm gonna say, the Riot Studios podcast, a podcast for filmmakers and people interested in filmmaking.
That's pretty good.
Inaccurate, it's at least accurate. It's probably not very good.
Yeah.
But, Will, today is a special day.
Yeah, today's pretty special. We're going to be reading an excerpt from our book, our latest book, The Break-In.
Our latest and only and first book.
Well, I've been writing on the side for many books on the side for years.
Will's got a secret book. But yes, today we will... give you a sneak peek at the audiobook, specifically chapter 2 from our audiobook for The Break-In, or How 2 20-year-olds Launch Their Film Careers Without Money, Connections, or Permission.
Now, one thing you should know is this audiobook is going to sound a lot like something else that you're listening to, mainly this podcast, because it was recorded right here with Michael and I. We are the actual readers on the audiobook, so if you like our beautiful voices...
It's like a much more formal, like you should actually know if you're listening for the first time, this is like a very classroom style delivery that we give in the audiobook. So we're, you know, the normal podcasts, we're a little more conversational, but we're reading. So this is how we read, I guess.
Free flying, loose cannons, all off the top of our heads.
We're normally total wild men, but today we're chained to our text.
Yeah. So you're going to hear one of the chapters from our book. What chapter are we giving them? Hatching a Plan?
Chapter 2, Hatching a Plan.
Ooh, this is a good chapter because there's a lot of great things in it about how we launched our first movie, One Nation Under God, all the way from creating the idea to raising the money, which is, hint, hint, if you're a filmmaker, usually one of the biggest issues you got to deal with.
Definitely.
To, what are we else? What else in there? Making a budget?
Yeah, casting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually great.
Coming up with good ideas for movies.
If you're an actor or you want to be an actor or know actors, this is a great one for them because there are parts of this chapter that deal explicitly with casting and what to do in an audition.
Definitely.
And what we look for as directors.
Yep. So that's enough buildup. Let's go ahead and start the chapter and we'll say hi quickly after, but enjoy chapter 2 from The Break-In.
Chapter 2, Hatching a Plan. The Origins of One Nation Under God. The two of us had been half friends through most of college, but we soon formed the most powerful bond two 19-year-olds in the mid-2000s could ever have. We started an emo band together. Will played drums, Michael played guitar and sang off pitch, and our friend Lawson Hopkins played bass guitar. Our first live show was Lawson's third time holding a bass. We were terrible, and it was awesome. Shockingly, the band never took off, but the three of us started hanging out a lot and became good buds, which led to an accidental pre-production meeting for our first feature-length film. Finding our roadmap. Lawson's parents had a guest house that we basically took over anytime we were home from college. We played a lot of video games and wrote some awful emo songs there. One night, after we'd beaten Halo 2 for the second time, Lawson and Michael started telling Will about their exciting summer plans to travel to New Zealand, work as apple farmers, and surf on their days off. They had no summer commitments and wanted to find themselves. The plan was perfect, until Will aptly pointed out one important piece of information. Will said, "Isn't it winter there during our summer? Isn't it, like, super cold?" Lawson and Michael responded with, "No, of course not." "Wait, is it?" As it turns out, we really hate the cold and needed a better plan than spending our summer in someone else's winter. So the three of us started coming up with alternative ideas for something fun we could do together over the break. We realized there were hundreds of cool places in our country we'd never been before, and that the cost of gas for one car to drive all of them was significantly less than several plane tickets overseas. Immediately, we plotted a route on Google Maps that could take us in a circle around the country. It quickly became clear that in a little over a month, and with only a few $1,000s for gas and food, we could trek around the entire United States. This idea satiated our desire for adventure, but we wanted our trip to be about something more meaningful. As we tried to think of ways to give our trip a more significant mission, we realized that we were all struggling to figure out exactly what we believed about God and spirituality. We felt sheltered and uneducated, having spent our entire adolescence in the Bible Belt of Texas, only being exposed to the Christian worldviews of our parents. What if, we thought, we use this trip as a crash course in alternative beliefs about religion and spirituality in the U.S.? We loved the idea and knew right then that we needed to make it happen. It was only after all of the brainstorming, imagining, and scheming that Will mentioned we could make it a movie, a documentary. We could call it One Nation Under God. The idea of making the trip into a film was brilliant because it would keep us on our toes with the focus of the trip and give us an easy way to share our journey with others at the end. How do we not think of this sooner? Okay, quick side note. People often squirm anytime religion is discussed. We want to warn you now that it's going to come up occasionally because of the nature of our story, but we promise to keep everything within the context of filmmaking. Personally, we're not the biggest fans of most religious movies, but the lessons we learned making a few can actually be applied to all areas of filmmaking, not just faith-based films. So try not to let any mention of Christianity distract you from the actual points we're making. Cool? Cool. Your first movie idea. Looking back, it's surprising to us that we decided to move forward with our first idea for a movie. We definitely should have put more time into developing the story and overall purpose behind One Nation Under God. You'll learn how this lack of preparation came back to bite us when we address the topic of storytelling in Chapter 4. But at the same time, there's something to be said about the natural momentum that came with our idea for One Nation Under God. Sometimes, one of the toughest parts of the filmmaking process is coming up with a good idea for a movie. But in our experience, the best ideas don't usually start as movie ideas. If you're early in your career and having trouble coming up with a great premise for your film, rather than asking, "What's a cool movie I can make?" try asking, "What interests me? What's a subject or character I want to learn more about?" Whenever you find some good answers to those questions, you can start asking what's an interesting and affordable way to capture that on video. This is why a lot of people, including us, end up starring in their own films at the beginning of their careers, because it's the most direct way to let their personal passion shine on screen. Sarah Koenig, the producer of the podcast Serial, once said, "A good idea can be easy, and often it's the bad ideas that take a lot of effort to make them passable." Once we decided on the idea for One Nation Under God, we quickly realized we would benefit from adding a fourth personality to our film. As we considered which of our friends would make the best fit for our team, we realized that what we were really doing was casting.
Casting your film. Normally, this part of the process doesn't happen until after you've written a script and raised money for your film. But because this was our first time and we were making an unscripted documentary, we did things a little out of order. Still, it's helpful to know how casting generally works. For narrative films, finding actors to play the different parts is one of the most important phases of pre-production, but it can be tough to know where to find them, much less decide who's best for each role. Most film productions hire a casting director to assist in this area. Casting directors usually have relationships with talent agencies and keep themselves in the know of actors that might be a good fit for each of your roles. They'll usually schedule a casting call at their office, where a number of actors will come in for a brief audition. Typically, casting directors will send out sides, or portions of the script, to actors beforehand so they can come in prepared. They'll also usually record video of each audition so the director and producers can review them afterwards. Of course, many low-budget independent films or indies won't have the luxury of hiring a professional casting director, so it's good to know how to set up a casting call on your own. Putting on a casting call. If you ever want to run your own in-person casting call, try to find a free or cheap place to host them, such as a friend's office or studio. Then get the word out about the audition by tacking up flyers around drama schools, emailing local talent agencies, and posting about the project on Craigslist, Facebook, and Twitter. If you want actors to prepare for the scenes beforehand, be sure to send them the sides they'll be acting out. Then, on the days of the audition, be sure to find a friend to help out with checking people in and recording their auditions. If you're trying to manage all the logistics of the casting call, you won't be able to focus on who's actually best for the role. After each actor auditions, be sure to communicate when they should expect to hear back from you about the part. You'll find that auditioning actors for your film can be a fun, rewarding part of pre-production, but it can also be a headache to set everything up. If you don't have a good location, ample time, and dependable help to run your casting call, it may be best to consider doing the process online. There are plenty of great websites to find actors, including the fairly popular Backstage.com. On Backstage, you can search for actors based on their age, ethnicity, and gender, as well as find headshots, resumes, and video reels from previous work. All you need to do is create a project on Backstage and wait for actors to submit their auditions. Another strategy is to post an ad on Craigslist or social media with instructions for submitting a video audition through YouTube. Often, holding online auditions will result in better talent and more options. Of course, even then, you'll still have to make some tough decisions about which actors should get the parts. Choosing the right actors. Like most choices in the filmmaking process, deciding which actor is right for a part is very subjective. So it's easy to second-guess your choice and fear that you'll ruin your movie by picking the wrong actor. To make these tough decisions, ask yourself the following questions. Does the actor look the part? Would he or she fit in with the other members in your cast? Do they bring something unique or nuanced to the portrayal of the character? Do you enjoy watching him or her on screen? Additionally, it's worth considering an actor's popularity or fame. If an actor draws a lot of press or has a large social media following, you may want to consider giving him or her the edge over their competition for the role. Casting actors with a large following is a great way to ensure your film has a built-in audience when you release it. Of course, we're not recommending that you cast someone that's terrible for a role just because they have a popular Snapchat account. But it may be worth considering a minor sacrifice in artistic quality if you can deliver a big boost to the business side of your movie. Our casting process for One Nation Under God was a little different from the process for most narrative films, but our goals were fairly similar. We needed someone that could provide more entertainment value, because we had little faith anyone would want to watch it if it was just the three of us. But we also realized that another guy's connections would make fundraising a lot easier. Plus, we needed a car. The original plan was to take Lawson's car, but it had been to the repair shop more times that semester than Lawson had been to class. The chances of it breaking down in the middle of a desert in New Mexico were uncomfortably high. We considered a few friends, but nobody was a perfect fit until we talked to our buddy Austin Meek. Lawson was tight with Austin because he was dating his sister, and Michael had known Austin for years because they went to middle school together. Austin was smart and hilarious, so we knew he'd be fun to watch on screen. He was also personable and well-connected, which would be helpful for fundraising. Plus, he was willing to let us take his car. Given that it had over 90,000 miles, it was no sure bet. But it was better than Lawson's car. Once Austin committed to doing the project, we had our full team, a half-baked plan, and a car. Now we needed to gear up and figure out how to actually make a movie. Selecting your equipment. Over the years, we've gotten asked a lot of questions about camera gear we recommend for beginners. From our experience comes the answer, whatever you can borrow for free. Before the trip, we didn't want to add any large expenses to the already high by our standards budget. We knew cameras, sound, and lighting equipment could easily cost double what we thought we could raise, so we looked for ways to get it for free. Will had worked in the media department for a church in Dallas during high school and still had some friends there. Luckily, the church guys had poor enough judgment to believe we wouldn't break their stuff, and they lent us a decent camera, a Panasonic DVX-100 that shot on DV tapes, and a wireless shotgun microphone. Now, we didn't know how to use either of these things, but we'll get to that. Camera equipment is normally a big chunk of an indie film's budget. Luckily, we were able to lock down ours for free. However, we knew that not everything for this project was going to be given to us, so we started calculating a budget to know how much it would all cost. Setting your budget. Sometime in February, we settled on a total budget of around $6,000, which included all the essentials to make the trip happen. It went something like this. Food, $2,400. Lodging, $600. Gasoline, $2,500. Car repair, $500. And camera equipment, $300. In total, this added up to about $6,300. Pretty basic, huh? Budgeting is something that often intimidates young filmmakers. Even if you come up with a simple idea, you might assume there's something you're missing because most movies cost tens or even hundreds of millions. In reality, there is no reason any rookie filmmaker should spend that much money on a project. Our general rule for budgeting was if we don't really, 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 really need it, we're not going to spend for it. This was partially to keep the planning simple, but also to avoid any unnecessary effort of raising money that we didn't need. Raising funds for your first movie. One of the first lessons Will picked up in film school about fundraising was use other people's money. At first, this rubbed us the wrong way because it sounded like an excuse to make other people take all the risk on our passion. It sounded like literally passing the buck. It sounded lazy. But after a while, we began to understand why there's wisdom in this idea. One, spending your own money clouds your judgment. You can easily be tempted to sacrifice overall quality of the creative product in order to save a buck for your own livelihood. As reasonable as this temptation is, it's bad for your film, and thus bad for your film career. Two, spending your own money is personally irresponsible. Movies are financially and logistically risky. It doesn't matter how talented you are. There is never a guarantee that a film will make its money back unless it's free. It's more sensible to have a few people with a lot of dollars or a lot of people with a few dollars share that risk with you. The only reason to disregard this warning is if you're wealthy enough to lose every penny you invest in a film and not be bothered by it. Three, it's good to have other people involved. You need help, whether it be with advice, encouragement, or marketing. Making a movie is a big enough burden on its own. To make the whole thing and pay for it out of your own pocket is overwhelming. But when others have skin in the game, they're likely to stay involved. This can relieve you of some of the burden and make you feel supported while you pursue your dream. We decided to take film school's advice and use other people's money, but we still had to figure out how to ask for it. This was a couple years before Kickstarter, Indiegogo, or any other web fundraising platforms had gotten popular. So we got acquainted with the ancient art of letter writing. Beginning in March, 4 months before our trip, we each sent support letters, or to put it more formally, please, please, please give us your money letters, to friends and family. We're not sure whether anyone held on to one of these letters, but they look something like this. Dear John, I hope this letter finds you well. I'm writing you because I'm working on an exciting project and would love for you to be a part of it. This summer, I will be traveling in a car around the United States with three friends to create a documentary film about differing views on religion and spirituality from people in all parts of our country. The project and film are titled One Nation Under God. We feel called to this mission and believe it will be an important project to understand the beliefs of non-Christians as well as share the good news of Jesus with them. The best part is that by capturing it all on film, we will be able to share our experiences with others so they can learn and be inspired by it. Our budget is very minimal. A church has graciously agreed to let us borrow their camera equipment. We're taking our own car and we've arranged free places to stay through most of our journey. But we still need to raise $6,000 to cover gasoline, food, and occasional lodging when we're unable to find a host. As we prepare for our journey, the most important thing we need is prayer. It will be a long trip with many risks along the way. Pray that God would open some great conversations and allow for smooth travel so that we can complete the mission once we begin. The next thing we need is financial assistance to cover our remaining budget. I hope you'll pray about joining our cause through giving money. We have a long way to go, but every bit helps. To send a gift, just make out a check to me and send it to my address. Finally, we hope you'll follow along with us and spread the word about this project. We will be updating a blog this summer at onenationfilm.com. Feel free to check in to hear our story unfold and send the link to others. We want our effort to bless more people than just ourselves. Thanks for taking the time to consider partnering with us on this important endeavor. In Christ, Michael Allen. Fundraising will be the hardest part for almost any film, and One Nation Under God was no exception. But after a slow start, we began to receive a few checks and inch closer to our financial goal. There was nothing genius about our strategy, but looking back, we can see a handful of things we did right.
7 tips for successful fundraising. Number 1, keep the price tag low. Odds are, fundraising is not a part of the filmmaking process you're most passionate about, which is why it's best to try to make this process go by quickly. When raising the budget for your film, it's wise to set your mind on raising the amount that you need and not necessarily what you want. The toughest part about this, for some filmmakers, is that this means paying yourself as little as possible, if anything at all. We made our documentaries without ever budgeting for directing or producing fees so that we could squeeze the most out of every dollar raised. The more money you choose to raise, the harder it will be to make a profit on the investment. One caveat to this is not to make a budget that's unrealistically low. You never want to shoot half a movie, then run out of money because you underestimated how much you needed to finish it. Once you raise your budget, stick to it. You'll have to manage your funding carefully so that you can come back to your donors with a finished film instead of excuses. Otherwise, you risk looking irresponsible and turning your supporters against you. Number 2, show people you care about them. Today, there are endless online tools for fundraising, such as Indiegogo, Kickstarter, and GoFundMe. There's nothing wrong with using these tools, as they can add quite a bit of efficiency to your process. However, you should try to avoid relying on these tools as your only method of communication. Asking people for money through websites, emails, Facebook pages, and mass text messages can feel very impersonal. Using these platforms as your only method of correspondence risks alienating your audience because, from their end, it's easy to think, she's asking me for my hard-earned money, but can't even take the time to send me something personal. Ideally, you can balance your approach by using modern tools to offer an online method of donating while also taking the time for more personal communication, such as handwritten letters, personal phone calls, or face-to-face meetings. In our One Nation Under God fundraising experience, these methods were well worth the extra time they demanded because they helped people see that we valued them for more than just their checkbooks. Number 3, lead with your passion. You'll notice from our fundraising letter that after we briefly explained the project, we focused on explaining why we felt personally moved to pursue it. The reason we did this, beyond the shallow defense against someone assuming our endeavor was just a cash grab, was to establish a sympathetic story around the success of our project. We were young, motivated guys working hard to achieve a goal bigger than ourselves. People like to support passionate, hardworking people, and even if the giver doesn't have a personal connection to your goal, they might still get behind it if they feel that they are upholding your strong personal passions. So be sure to put what's driving you personally at the forefront. Donald Miller once wrote in his book, Blue Like Jazz, "Sometimes you have to watch somebody love something before you can love it yourself. It is as if they are showing you the way." Number 4, find common ground. Anybody you ask for money should have some type of stake in the project. Even if you're asking for donations instead of investments, meaning they'll get no financial return from giving, your donors should feel that they are getting something in return for their money. The simplest form of this is asking someone to fund a movie that he or she would really like to watch, regardless of who made it. Of course, that's not the only way to give somebody a vested interest. You can also appeal to their support of a common moral or social cause that will be addressed throughout the film. In our case, we knew that most of the recipients of our letters were Christians, so we emphasized the religious mission behind the film. Every project is a little different and can offer different values to different people, but you should always put yourself in the shoes of the potential donor, asking yourself how your project benefits them. Number 5. Answer questions before they're asked. You need to show your audience that you've already put in the tough legwork. In our letter, we specifically mentioned that we had minimized our budget, found our own car, and scheduled host homes for our journey. There wasn't any part of the process we hadn't considered. By sharing all of this, what we were really communicating was we've done everything we possibly can, and the only remaining need rests on you. You must assure your audience that you take their money seriously enough to have done the due diligence before coming to them. Otherwise, you risk looking lazy and irresponsible, not the type of individual most people are looking to give their money to. Number 6, build the bandwagon. Another strategic part of our fundraising letter was to mention that a church had agreed to let us borrow their camera equipment. We did this because we were aware of our status as rookie filmmakers and college kids, and we figured our potential donors would be much more confident our project was legitimate if they knew a church was involved. People tend to feel uncomfortable being the first to do something, especially if it involves finances. Name-dropping respectable people or organizations that have gone ahead of them and invested in the project is the fastest way to quell that fear. Also, it makes your audience feel that by donating, they will be putting themselves in good company. Number 7. Ask for more than money. In our One Nation Under God letter, you'll notice we didn't only ask for financial donations. We asked the recipients to pray for us, spread the word about the project, and follow our journey via the One Nation Under God blog. Not everyone you approach for money will be able to contribute financially, but it is important to realize how much they can benefit your project in other important ways. Some people are well connected through social media followers, business relationships, or community groups. Even if these people can't give to your project themselves, they may be able to lead you to others who might be interested in giving. Or they could offer other benefits, like connections to equipment, advertising, or crew members. Stay in communication with everyone you can, because you never know what opportunities they may offer down the road. Down to the wire. Over the course of that semester, we spent hours researching our travel route and making sure we had the right equipment. We sent out over 300 personal letters, met with over 50 people in person, and created a Facebook group, blog, and email list. Yet, with less than a month until the trip, we were still less than halfway to raising our budget. Then, in the 11th hour, much to our surprise, the check started coming. We hit our financial goal. The movie was officially happening. At the time of planning One Nation Under God, we didn't know these fundraising tips, and we had no guarantee that our project would come together in time. We were pretty fortunate it all worked out. But as lucky as we felt when that final check rolled in, we also knew that it never would have happened without the hundreds of hours of hard work we'd put into fundraising strategy months earlier. Raising money will always be a pretty miserable part of the filmmaking process. But take it from us, the juice is worth the squeeze. If you work at it hard enough, you'll come out on the other side with a chance to actually make a movie the same way we did. As the four of us saddled up to hit the road, we were proud of our efforts and giddy to begin shooting our first feature-length film. But in order to actually pull it off, we still had a lot to learn.
So that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a chapter from our book.
A nice little taste of the book, audio book.
We hope you enjoyed it. And to learn more or get your entire copy of the audiobook, ebook, or hardcover, you can go to riotstudios.com/book. And Will, where can people go to find out more about Riot Studios online?
I am so glad you asked, Michael. I wasn't sure if you were going to ask that, but you did, and you crushed it. And if people want to learn more about us, they want to see more about us, then go to riotstudios.com. Slash anything that they want, /book/podcast/blog.
Money. We'll give you money.
It's just a site where we give you money. If you want to follow us, you can do that on Twitter @Riot Studios or on Facebook, facebook.com/Riot Studios. But, Michael, let's get down to brass tacks. Where would we be without our sponsors?
Getting called on stage at a U2 concert when they're playing a deep track that you don't know, and Bono hands you the mic to sing along and you don't know the words.
That is an actual fear of mine. Not just the U2, but any concert I go to. Nice. This episode's brought to you... That's a real thing. Tangible. Felt it. This episode's brought to you by The Break-In, our first book from Riot Studios. We can't promote this enough. Honestly, we wish we had all the things in this book when we were 20 years old, getting started in the film industry. So if you know anyone that's wanting to break in, please get The Break-In. It is a great book for any aspiring filmmaker. And we hope you enjoy it. Get it at riotstudios.com/book.
And in case we didn't mention, it comes out December 12th.
We didn't, and we're so glad we said that now. unless it's 2017 when you're listening to this, in which case, it's out. Enjoy.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.